to answer the call of death, but God's been good to us. A lot of us on this side of life just a little while longer. We realize, we recognize that God didn't have to do it, but we're sure thankful that God did. Somebody said that God is good, not just some of the time, but I declare tonight, God is good all the time. And so we're grateful to be able to come, assemble ourselves together tonight under the theme of the greatest gift that man ever received. And that gift was Jesus Christ. And so we're grateful for this congregation again, for your minister. I'm so appreciative of him, Brother Joe Brown, for the opportunity to come and share with you again my faith in Jesus Christ. Thank the church for the prayer. Sister Pounds made it home safely. And I do appreciate that so very, 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 very much for traveling grace, praying that she had traveling grace and arriving mercy. She said she thoroughly enjoyed herself. She just hated the fact she was not able to spend the entire week, the time that I'll be with you here. But, you know, duty calls. And so we do appreciate the idea. I love when she have opportunity to travel with me. And that's always a great joy. Would you come with me tonight in the book of Ephesians? And to those who are not members of the Church of Christ, I want you to know that you are indeed our honored guests tonight. These meetings were designed with you in mind. And I want you to know that you might recognize what you need to do in order to get yourself right with God. Because one thing about life is that life is short. James was powerful and precise when James 4, verse 14, when James says, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for just a little while." And then he says, "It vanishes away." And so time is so short on this side. It just seemed like just the other day we were young. But time brings about a change. And so therefore we have to recognize that when we come to the end of our journey here, recognizing there is life after this, but we got to make sure when we leave here that we're in a right relationship with the Lord. Amen. And so to that end, I want to talk to those who are not members of the Church of Christ, and hopefully along the way, I'll say something to those who are members of the church. Now, our study tonight, it takes us to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, the powerful and prolific Apostle Paul, he writes, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." I want to just for a topic to labor under quickly tonight. I say quickly. That's, you know, that's subjective. What's quick to me may not be quick to you, but I try to be as succinct as possible. I want to talk about the sinner, the greatest need a sinner has. What is the greatest need that a sinner has? When the Apostle Paul writes to the saints at Ephesus, he's writing to not only those who were Christians, who were once Jews, and those individuals who also were Gentiles, but now the Jews and the Gentiles were now in the church and they were Christian. And Paul writes to them, and Paul says, "And you Christians I'm writing to in Ephesus, you hath he quickened." That word quicken, it comes from a Greek word zoe, Z-O-E, zeta, omicron, epsilon, Z-O-E if you're writing in the English. And it means life. And he says it means to give life. "And you hath he given life who were dead in trespasses and sin." Now, when he helps them to understand that those individuals he's writing to, that there was a time when they were dead. That word dead comes from another Greek word, and I won't give you too many Greek words. I'm just trying to set this lesson up. The word death comes from a Greek word thanatos, and what it means is separation. The only thing death means is a separation. No one, when they stop their journey here, no one stop existing, because what happens, the only thing that happens in death, there is a separation. Separation of what? I'm glad you asked me. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23, they told me this, these scriptures on his screen. I didn't realize that. I preached all day yesterday. Didn't even realize. Like, damn, what did I do? Just look up. The Bible says that the idea of man is that we are a man is a trichotomy. Man is three parts. And it's interesting, Paul writes to the saints down in Thessalonica and 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 23. Paul helps us to understand there are three parts to us. There is the body, there is the soul, and there is the spirit. Now, you got to understand this. You and I, we live in a body. And it's amazing. We put so much emphasis on the outside. But the outside is nothing but a bunch of dirt. Paul mentions, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body. Paul talks about the distinction between the three, spirit, soul, and body. It's amazing. We would go, not y'all cousins back in Florida. We would go to get our hair did. And we'll stay there 5 hours fixing up this outside dirt. And that's the least important part of us is the outside of us. You and I are really, brothers and sisters, we are spirit beings. But we've lived in these bodies so long until we look at everything from a physical point of view. But you are spiritual. And a matter of fact, you and I are going to live on beyond this life. I know that's right. Because Hebrews 9:27, the Bible said, as it is appointed unto men once to die. But then the Bible said, but after this. Which means something is coming after this. And so therefore we are spirit beings. We are souls. That's who we are. We are souls. We have a spirit and we live in a body. Yes. Because it is going to be the real you that's going to be judged at the last day. The real you. Our souls, the decision-making part of us, that's the part of us that's going to have to stand at the last day. That's why Jesus said, fear not him that's able just to destroy the body, but rather fear him that's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And so therefore, we look at this. Paul says, and you hath he made alive who were dead. Now, when you talk about death, this idea of separation, when we die, our body, we go through a transformation where there's a separation of the body from the soul, from the spirit. Let me just quickly deal with that. The body is going back to the dust of the ground. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 7 is plain that when you and I go through the portal of death, only thing happens, these old bodies, the bodies of dirt, going back to the dirt. And then what's happening is God gave us at the point when mama and daddy got together and that egg was fertilized, what God did, we started a journey that will never end. God gave us, therefore, just like in the beginning when God breathed in Adam the breath of life and man became a living nephesh, man became a living soul. You got to recognize this, that God gives us a spirit. You and I, we have a spirit. God gives us a spirit. The purpose of the spirit is so that you and I will be alive. No one dies until the spirit leaves the body. This is not even my lesson, but y'all looking like y'all interested. I'm trying to get to a lesson, but y'all looking like y'all interested in this. When there is a separation, the body goes back to the dust of the ground, but the spirit is going back to God who gave it. Now, some people have a bad case of misunderstanding. They say because the spirit is going back to God who gave it, therefore everybody's going to be saved. No, no ma'am and no sir. God gives everybody a spirit. Now, the purpose of the spirit is twofold. Number one, the spirit gives us life. It's because of the Holy Spirit, because of God's spirit, God, human spirit, we have life. God gives everybody a human spirit. The spirit gives us life. Jesus said in John 6, around verse 63, it's the spirit that quickeneth. It's the spirit that makes us alive. That's why when Jesus died, the Bible says he gave up the ghost. Ghost and spirit are used interchangeably. And so therefore, what's the second purpose for the spirit? We receive a spirit that maybe one day we would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We would go in the waters of baptism. And it's in baptism God gives us his spirit. And the reason we have a spirit is because flesh and spirit don't agree. So God gives us a spirit so that if we obey the gospel, then Romans 8 and verse number 16, then his spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Nobody's a child of God without the Holy Spirit of God. And the spirit is only given to those who obey him. Acts 5 and verse number 32. Now, so there's a separation that happens. Death is a separation. But then also, I need to remind you about something else. Not only that is the concept of physical death, but then there is also spiritual death. Now, spiritual death is when we are separated from God. When a person is living but separated from God, the Bible says that they are dead. That they are dead. Well, look at your Bible. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 13. In the book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 13. Listen to the Apostle Paul, what Paul says, Colossians 2 and verse number 13.
And you being dead in your sins.
Watch this now. You see, dead in your sins. You see, a person could be walking around, and if they're in their sins, the Bible says that they are dead. And then we see also, just jot that down, please, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 6. The Bible said that the woman that lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. So you could be walking around, busy going about your affairs, going about your business, and dead. Spiritually dead. So we have physical death of the body, but then there is spiritual death. Because whenever there's sin in the soul, sin is death of the soul. I'm going to say that again. Sin is death of the soul. And then if a person dies in their sins, Jesus says, where I am, you can't come. And then so when we die in our sins, then that's what you call eternal death, where you are eternally separated from God. So Paul, as he writes to the saints at Ephesus, Paul says, and you, those who were in the church, and you, there was a time you were dead, and you hath he quickened. You hath he made alive. Because there was a time you were dead. You were separated from God. But so what is, and I finally got to my topic. What is the sinner's greatest need? They don't need a new car because that can't help them in their sins. They don't need a new man. Help me, somebody. Because that can't help you in your sins. The greatest need of a sinner tonight is life. The one that is dead, the one thing you need is life. The Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse number 25. Go with me to John 5. God recognized our greatest need because they're dead. They are separated from God. And so therefore, the hope of the sinner is that God will help him have life. Because God has to save him, because a sinner man cannot save himself. We can't save ourselves. That's why the book says in the book of John chapter 5 and verse number 25, man's greatest need. Listen to the Bible.
Verily, verily, I say unto
Jesus
you.
Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you.
He that heareth my word.
Watch this. The hour, I say unto you, John 5:25, the hour is coming. No, do a translation.
Sorry. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hour is coming.
The hour is coming.
And now is.
And now is.
When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of
Watch
God.
Watch this. When the dead, the spiritual dead, shall hear the voice of the Son of God.
And they that hear shall live.
And they that hear shall live. And the next verse, sir.
For as the Father hath life in himself.
Watch this now. As the Father hath life in himself.
So hath he given to the
Son. He has given life to the Son.
To have life in himself.
Now, so therefore, what the sinner needs is in Jesus Christ. Amen. What the sinner man needs, that life that he needs, is in Jesus. And I know life is in Jesus. Come here, John. John, just keep on talking about this life. In John chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Then it goes on to say, all things were created by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. When you get down to verse number 4, the Bible said, in him was life. The Bible said, in Christ was life. And the life was the light. It was the light of men. The life is the light. It is the light. The life is the light of men. And so therefore, I want you to understand what we need is Jesus. The Bible said, Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse number 10. Jesus said, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But then Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus said in John 11 and verse number 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus just constantly talk about this life. In John 14 verse number 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by me. So what the sinner man needs, he needs life. Because why? He's dead in his sins. And the life that he needs, he can only find it in Jesus Christ. Because when you're dead, when a person is dead, listen to what Paul, as Paul describes this. Paul said, you hath he quickened who were dead. I'm back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. Who were dead in trespasses. Now trespasses, he was talking to the Jews. The Jews had God's law, but they trespassed it. And then he talks to the Gentiles, he says, and sins. Gentiles, he addresses the Jews' trespass and the Gentiles' their sins. And then we get to verse number 2. He said, because of the fact that you all were separated from God, because of the fact you all were dead in your sins, he said, look at your behavior. He helped them to understand. He said, when time passed, you walked according to the course of this world. He says, you all went according to the way of the world. You all went according in regards to you fit into the mold of the world. And he says, according to the prince of the power of the air, he says, a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But then we get to verse number 3, Paul says, I got to include myself in this. Paul said, for we all, watch this now, we all had our lifestyle. The word conversation means lifestyle in time past. He said, time past in the desires of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And then Paul said, because of things we did, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I want you to see how the state of a person is that's dead in sin. A person of a state, how he is tonight, if he doesn't have Jesus Christ. The state of a person tonight that's not a member of the church that Jesus built and purchased with his own blood. The state of a person tonight that has not had their sins forgiven and the Lord has not added you to that church. I want you to see your state tonight. You're dead. Cut off from God. But then Paul had to remind them, when you drop down to verse number 11 in Ephesians chapter 2 verse number 11, I want you to see this, because Paul says, I just need to understand and appreciate what God has done. In Ephesians 2:11, he says, therefore, remember. That's good for folk in the church, because, sometimes I have to deal, Brother Brown, that there are new converts who come. And I was just talking to a new convert last weekend, and she said, Brother Brown, she said, I'm going through so much. And she said, I just feel like, because of all the things I'm going through, I'm struggling. She says, it's hard for me to come to church because, she says, I feel like a hypocrite because I got all of these struggles, all these problems. I got all of these failures. And when I come to church, I see all of these people who got themselves together. And I say, honey, stop fooling yourself. I say, the reason we come to church is because the church is a hospital for sin-sick souls. That's why we come to church. And I tell you, don't let people fool you. Now, I know we dress up now. We look good. But don't. All of us, I said before, we're dealing with something. Everybody has something that they're dealing with. Everybody has a struggle. Everybody has a weakness. And the devil had us at one time. And so therefore, it is a battle. It is a struggle in regards to this Christian race. But thank God for Jesus. Because he helps us to overcome. You got to rely on Jesus. I had to help her and try to encourage her to understand that don't look at people. Because sometimes, not y'all, but you know, folk, y'all cousins back in Florida, some of the greatest actors in the world are right there in the church. Because we act like, you know, I laugh about this sometimes. Because the husband and wife, I mean, they argue, got up in the morning arguing, got dressed for church arguing, and then they argue on the way to church. And as soon as they get in the parking lot, they open that door, they all smiles. Oh, don't let them fool you now. Don't let them fool you. I said, everybody goes through something. And so Paul says, I gotta remind you, don't ever think you so holy. If it wasn't for Jesus. I said, if it wasn't for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. And so Paul said, wherefore, to those individuals, he said, wherefore, remember. He says to those individuals, he said, now you're in Christ, but now, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles, and don't miss this now, your state tonight, if you don't come to Jesus, number one, you're in the flesh. He had to remind them that they were in the flesh. Speaking to the Gentile audience that was there, Paul said, don't forget where you come from. There was a time you were in the flesh. Why is that so important? Why Paul brought this up? You all were in the flesh. And I want you to understand, if you have not been baptized for sins remission tonight, you are still in the flesh. Now here's the problem with that. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 8, in Romans 8 and verse number 8, I want you to watch this now. The Bible said in Romans 8 and verse number 8, so then they
that are in the flesh,
cannot
please God.
You see, here's the problem. You can't please God. Amen. You're in the flesh, but you can't please God. And it doesn't matter what you do. All of the good deeds that you do, you still can't please God. You can read your Bible. You can give to the poor. You can show up at church every Sunday. You can be on the auxiliary board. You can sing in the choir. You can do all of those things, but still not please God. Drop down to verse 13, sir. Romans 8 and verse number 13.
Watch what the Bible says. If you live after the flesh.
Because here's the problem. If you live after the flesh,
you shall die.
You see, that's the problem. You're after the flesh and you die. And so Paul says, don't miss this. Paul said, first of all, remember that ye being in time past, you Gentiles in the flesh. And I'm back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. And you Gentiles, you're Gentiles in the flesh. And I want you to watch this now, because this is interesting. Paul says, you were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. What Paul alludes back to is that Gentiles, I want y'all to understand that there was a time you all were not circumcised. Now, go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 17, and we'll look at verse number 9. Because in Genesis 17, in verse number 9, we are introduced to circumcision. And God is speaking to his servant Abraham. And God begins to speak to him regards to a way in which God was going to identify with his people. God says that there's something, Abraham, I want to do. I want you to do to all the males that are born. Now the Bible says in Genesis 17 in verse number 9.
And God said to Abraham,
"Thou
shalt keep my covenant."
Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore,
thou,
you
and thy seed after
and
thee,
your seed after you,
and their generations,
and their generations.
This is my covenant.
This is my covenant,
which ye shall keep.
Which you shall keep
between me and
me
you,
and you,
and thy seed after
and
thee,
and thy seed after thee.
Every
man child
among
you,
shall be circumcised.
Shall be circumcised,
and you shall circumcise the flesh,
and you shall circumcise the flesh
of your foreskin,
of your foreskin.
And it shall be a token,
and it shall be a token
of the covenant betwixt me and you.
Betwixt me and you. God used circumcision as a way to identify as the token by which people belong to him. And I need you to understand this, that God has a circumcision today. Look at your Bible, Colossians chapter 2, and the verse is number 10. In Colossians chapter 2, I want to start off. I like to start at verse number 10 because the Bible says you are complete in him. Stop running around looking for folk to complete you. And the Bible says you are complete in everything you need.
Which is the head of all principality.
The head of all principalities and everything you need is in Jesus. I said, well, you got Jesus, you got, ooh, if I had time. Ooh, I don't have time. I don't have time. But y'all look like I got time. If I had time, I would take everything you need is in Jesus. A, he's an antiseptic for my aches. B, he's a balm for my bruises. C, he's a cure-all for my calamities. D, he delivered from my dilemmas. E, he erased every one of my errors. F, he forgave all my faults. G, he gave me grace for my grief. H, he healed all my hurts. I, he identifies with my infirmities. J, he gave me joy over people's jealousies. K, he gave me knowledge when I was knocked down. L, he led me when I was lost. M, he gave me mercy for my mistakes. M, gave me mercy for my mishaps. M, gave me mercy for my mess. N, he came near when I needed him. O, he was online when I was overwhelmed. P, he my partner in a path. Q, my quiet in a quarrel. R, my redeemer when I returned. S, he my savior when I was sinking. T, he my teacher when I was in trouble. U, understanding when I'm undecided. V, he my voice when I'm vocal. W, he my word when I'm weary. X, he my x-ray when I examine. Y, my yardstick when I'm yearning. Z, he my zeal when I'm zealous. Everything I need is in Jesus Christ. I said everything that you need. Verse number 10 says that you are complete in him. Everything you need, you are complete in Christ. Go to read, sir.
Which is the head of all principalities.
Which is the head of all principalities and powers.
In whom also.
Oh, I don't have time. Christ is the head of all angels. Principalities. There's ranks of angels. That's another lesson. He is over every angel. Christ is over every angel. All the ranks of angels. Go to read, sir.
In whom also. You are circumcised.
Watch this now. This is my point. They had a circumcision back then to identify themselves with God. We have a circumcision today to identify us with God. And the Bible says, go to read, sir.
In whom also. You are circumcised.
You are circumcised.
With the circumcision made
without
hands.
In
putting off of the body. Of the sins of the flesh. By the circumcision of Christ.
Go to read, sir.
Buried with him in
baptism. Here's the circumcision. Buried with him by baptism. Come on, read.
Wherein also you are risen.
With him.
Through the operation of God.
I stopped by tonight to tell somebody that that's the circumcision that you need. And if you have not been baptized, you will not, my friend, have not been circumcised, because that is the token by which you and I belong to God. We go into a covenant relationship with him, but it's only in the waters of baptism. Look back. Now we're in Ephesians 2 and verse number 11. And he says, wherefore remember, ye be in time past Gentiles in the flesh. And he said, you are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh. Made by hands. Because their circumcision was done by human hands. Our circumcision is a spiritual circumcision. And that's done by Christ. And then verse number 12, God does this. It's the work of God. God goes to work. Watch this now. Now here's the state of a person who's dead. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ tonight, this is the state of a person that's dead. Paul says that at that time, ye were without Christ. Now remember, you need Christ. Because why do I need Christ, Brother Powell? Because life is in Christ. And the very thing I need, the Son of Man, the very thing he needs, the very thing you and I need is life. We need life. I say it again, not a new car, not a new wardrobe, not money in the bank. What the Son of Man needs is life. And the Bible said, but when you're outside of Christ, when you're outside, my friend, of the church, when you're a person who's dead in sin, you're walking around, but you're dead in sin, Paul said you are without Christ. Now that's crucial, because in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, in 1 John chapter 5 verse number 11, why do we need Christ? Well, in 1 John chapter 5 verse number 11, John says,
and this is the record.
This is the record.
That God hath given to us.
That God has given to us.
Eternal life.
Watch this now.
And this life.
And
is
this
in
life.
His Son.
You see, the life you need is in Jesus. If you want eternal life, to live with the Father when this life is over, the Bible said this life is in Christ. But remember now, the one who is outside of Christ, they're dead. They're separated from God, separated from Christ. But the Bible says, this is the witness that God hath given us eternal life, and God put this life in his Son. Now watch the next verse, verse number 12.
Sir, he that hath the Son.
Watch this now. If you got the Son,
hath life.
You got life.
He that hath not the Son.
If you don't have the Son
of God.
Come on, sir.
Hath not life.
You don't have. You see how simple that is? If you got Jesus, you got life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. And then verse number 13, sir.
These things have I written unto
you. These things have I written unto you.
That believe on the name of the Son of God.
That believe on the name of the Son of God.
That you may know that you have eternal life.
You may know you have eternal life.
And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God.
That you may believe on the name of the authority of the Son of God. And so, my friend, I just stopped by to tell somebody here tonight that what you need, what I need is life. And that life is only in John 6 and verse number 33. That life is only in Jesus Christ. The very thing we need tonight is in Jesus. In John 6 and verse number 33, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to give us life. John 6 and verse number 33. Watch what the Bible says, sir.
For the bread of God.
For the bread of God.
Is he which cometh down from heaven.
Yes, sir.
And giveth life unto the world.
The Bible said the very reason why Jesus came was to give life to the world. My friend, I say to you tonight, don't reject Jesus because you're rejecting life. And then, got to go quick. And I'm in Ephesians chapter 2. And we're on verse number 12 now. Where the Bible says that not only, he says, you're without Christ, but then he says you are alien from the commonwealth of Israel. They were aliens from citizenship. They were not citizens. These were a people who were Christless. These were people who were countryless because of the fact they were dead in their sin. They were alien. They were strangers from the commonwealth, from citizenship of Israel. Don't have time to deal with all that. But remember in the Old Testament that the Jews were God's chosen people. But now Paul was saying there was a time where you all were strangers from the very hand of God. You all were strangers from being the people of God. Because remember, I don't have time, but remember, God was showing us the church in the Old Testament. Yes, God showed us the church of Christ in the Old Testament. God started off with one man, Adam. Interesting. The one man, Adam, God started off with. One man, God took the, you know, since I'm on this, I won't go long. Since I'm on this. You know, sometimes, you know, young ladies, they come and they say, Brother Pounds, you know, I gotta, you know, find me a man. And sometimes they feel like they got to get in a hurry. And, you know, I heard when young ladies say, you know, Brother Pounds, you know, the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. You know, and so she was trying to use that and say she needed to hurry up and find somebody. And I was trying to help her understand that you got to be careful and who you choose to spend the rest of your life with. And because because you could do bad by yourself. And I said, you know, and I went to God that more young people and old folks too, that we would learn from we would learn a lesson what God showed us in Adam. God gave us a lot of good information if we would just pay attention to it in Adam, because there were some things that Adam had before Adam had a wife. I said there were some things in place before he had a wife. The Bible said, first of all, God made man and took man and put him into God. First of all, man had transportation. God put him in a garden. He had his own place. God told him to take care of the garden. He had a job. God brought all the animals in front of him to see what he would name them. He had an educated mind. And most importantly, he had communication with God. He had all of that in place before God gave him a wife. Now, sister, if he's still living at home, it take him 12 years to get a 2-year degree. He don't have no job but driving out all your gas. When he pick you up from work, there's no gas in there. You just filled up before you went to work. Sister, the only CD he has is in the car, none in the bank. Don't want a job, can't keep a job. Sister, it's good for that man to be alone. He had all this in place. God showed us a church. One man, that one woman, they were in the garden. Now, God started man's existence in paradise. Eden means paradise. And what is God trying to do? Get us back to paradise. Now, that's what God's trying to do. God's trying to get man right back to where we started, back in paradise. Eden. How did man get his wife? He went to sleep. When he went to sleep, his side was open. He got his wife. Jesus, on the cross, slept the sleep of death. Soldier opened up his side. He got his wife. God was dealing with just one man. From one man, what we see, in Genesis chapter 6, God told one man to build an ark. What did God do? God used one man to save one family. I don't have time, but that's the church, y'all. There's a picture of the church. Because if you go back and read it for yourself, the Bible said that Noah was a just man and perfect in all his generation. You don't ever read, go back and check behind the preacher now, you don't read where the Bible says his wife was righteous. You don't read where his boys, Shem, Ham, Japheth, were righteous. You don't read where those boys' three wives, the three wives of those boys were righteous. God saved them all because of the righteousness of one man. When you read Romans 5:25, God saves us because of the righteousness of one man, and that's Jesus Christ. I got to hurry. God dealt with, started off one man. Genesis chapter 6, God dealt with one family. Genesis chapter 11 with Abram, God is going to deal with one nation of people. And so the Bible helps us understand that that's a picture of the church. It starts off with Jesus Christ, and he has a family. He has a family. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 6, Christ as son over his own house, whose house are we? The word house there is interchangeable with family. We are the family of God. And then all that, God dealt with one nation. Then the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, we are a holy nation. And so therefore, what the Bible was trying to show us, church, it was trying to show us the one church. It was trying to show us God's plan. God gave us snapshots of the one church to help us to understand that when that church comes into fruition, that man won't miss it. But guess what? We missed it anyway. And so therefore, I got to hurry. Y'all supposed to say, take your time. Yeah. I don't have no Jamaicans in here tonight. You were strangers from the commonwealth. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And then he said, you were strangers from the covenant of promise. Because through Abraham, God promised Abraham, through your seed, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. But here's the problem. The Gentiles, they were not a part of that covenant because they were not God's people. But thank God for Jesus, because I want you to watch this now. That covenant, you and I could be a part of that covenant tonight. Well, how can that be? Look with me, Galatians 3:26. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26. Galatians 3 and verse number 26.
For ye are all the children of God. By faith in Christ Jesus.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ.
Have put on Christ.
Watch this. Come on, sir.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
In Christ, neither Jew nor Greek.
There is neither bond nor free.
Bond nor free.
There is neither male nor
female.
Male
nor female.
For ye are all one.
You're all one. In Christ Jesus. Watch this.
And if you be Christ.
If you belong to Christ.
Then are ye Abraham's
seed. Then are you Abraham's seed.
Heirs according to the promise.
We can be partakers of the promise. When God says, through your seed, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed, what blessing was he talking about? That's the blessing of salvation. God was speaking of the blessing of salvation. And I come by here tonight to tell you, we could be a partaker of that promise tonight, but we got to go in the waters of baptism. In the waters, we become partakers of the promise that God made to Abraham. Through your seed, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And then I got to hurry. And back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, and look at what he says. He says to those individuals, he says, and wherefore remember, time passed, you've been Gentiles in the flesh. And then he says, who were called uncircumcised by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. At that time, you're without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise. And then he says, you had no hope. No hope. When you look at the word hope, hope is a confident expectation. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. We have hope of eternal life. We have hope. And I mentioned this on yesterday. That's why we come to church. That's why we do what God commands us to do, because we hope to go to heaven one day. I mean, if you want a better life, you got to give your life to Jesus Christ. You got to give your life to Christ, because the Bible helps us understand. Well, who is our hope? Well, the Bible said those individuals didn't have any hope. Well, where is our hope today? Who is our hope? I'm glad you asked me that. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 1. I want you to watch what the Bible says. 1 Timothy 1.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. By the commandment of God, our Savior.
Yes.
And Lord Jesus Christ.
And Jesus Christ.
Which is our hope.
You want to know who our hope is tonight? I say our hope tonight is in Jesus. That means if you don't have Christ, that means you have no hope. Doctors will tell you, the one thing they want to make sure their patients understand, don't give up. Always have hope. You have to hope for a better day. You have to hope that things are going to improve. And doctors will tell you, when a person gives up their hope, they'll give up their life. And so tonight, our hope is in Jesus. And I'm saying to you tonight, you don't want to leave here without Jesus. You don't want to leave here without Christ. And then look at what he says. He says, in that verse, in Ephesians chapter 2 and around verse number 12, he tells them, he says, wherefore remember in time past ye being Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcised of that which is circumcised in the flesh made by hands. At that time you were without Christ.
Being aliens from the commonwealth of
Israel. You were Christless aliens. You were countryless. You were strangers. You were friendless. You had no hope.
And without God in the world.
Don't miss this. You didn't have God. Now, it's bad enough, you don't have hope, but then it says you don't have God. You don't have God. How in the world can we live in this world without God? You're going to need somebody to wake you up in the morning. That's God. God is awesome. I say God is awesome. God doesn't just rule this universe. God super rules this universe. I said, God is awesome. That's why we call God reverend. That's why no man is reverend. Psalm 111. Ooh, that's another sermon. Psalm 111 in verse number 9. The Bible says he. I wish I had time to deal with that. That's why a woman can't be a preacher, because the Bible said he. She's disqualified from the first word. He sent redemption to his. Number one, the he has to have a people that he redeemed. And the only one that did that was God. When Israel was in Egyptian bondage, God redeemed his people. He sent redemption unto his people. And then the Bible says he commanded his covenant forever. Which means that the person, in order to have a covenant, the person has to live as long as the covenant is in effect. And the Bible said God has an everlasting covenant because God lives forever. And if a person can't live forever, that means they don't qualify to be called reverend. Holy. Reverend. That's his name. And I know God is awesome. I said God is awesome tonight. I say he's awesome. When you can start with nothing, speak to nothing, and there's nothing to hear you, but nothing heard you, and nothing became something, that's God. Who could take the something that came from nothing and throw it out in nowhere where there was nowhere to throw it, and nowhere had a longitude and a latitude? That's God. When God just spoke and the sun started shining, God just spoke and the earth was created. God just spoke, divided the night from the day. God just spoke and the mountains stood at attention and the valleys bowed their head. God just spoke. And fish learned how to swim and birds learned how to fly. God just spoke. Cattle took to the hills and covered the land with grass and tacked it down with daffodils. God just spoke. No wonder we call him Reverend, because God is an awesome God. He's an awesome God tonight. He's awesome. And I want you Bible scholars, I want you to see quickly just how, and I'm almost done. I want you to see just how awesome God is. Thank you, my brother. Ooh, thank God. Thank you, my brother. The Bible says, when you go back and read it, on the first day, as God, in Genesis opens, God says, let there be light. Don't miss this now. God says, let there be light. Don't miss this now. When you go back, the sun wasn't created until day number four. But on the first day, God says, let there be light. Now, how do you explain that? Not explain. How do you explain that? Because the Bible says in God that God is light. That means the presence of God showed up and there was light. Wherever God is, there's light. God doesn't need a sun for him to see. He's God. Isaiah says he sees in the night the same as he sees in the day. He's awesome. There was a sister one time. She said, Brother Pounds, I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm just trying to understand this because I just can't wrap my mind around this. She says, I don't understand, you know, God not having a beginning. She said, because everything has to begin somewhere. And so, you know, we go from this date we're born to this date that we die. She said, my mind just can't grasp that. And so I had to try to help the sister understand. I said, if you need a time for God, I'll help you. The Bible said God is from everlasting to everlasting. That's the awesomeness of God. That's God. There was never a time that God did not exist. That's God. I gotta listen. I'm gonna try to close. They were without God, and then the Bible says they were in the world. Tonight, that's the state of a person that, my friend, is dead in sin. They're walking around. They're going about their daily affairs, but they are separated from God. And what you need tonight, you need life. And so what Paul does in the book of Ephesians, Paul was trying to explain to them their past condition. But then when you read with me in Ephesians chapter 2, and when Paul gets to verse number 4, a change happened in their life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4, Paul says,
but God.
That's all I need, sir. I said that's all I need. Thank you, Brother Lauren. That's all I need. But God. All of us need a but God. Because whenever there is a but God, things change. Ooh, can y'all give me about 2 more minutes? Give me 2 more minutes on this. Let me just stay here for a moment, this but God. Let me run through my mind. Let me run through some scriptures in my mind. Look at Acts chapter 7 and verse number 9. Look at Acts chapter 7 and verse number 9. Watch what the Bible says. Acts 7 and verse number 9.
And the patriarchs. Moved with envy.
Watch this now. They moved with envy.
Sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him.
Boy, y'all going to make me shout here tonight. I said, but God, there was a difference. I said, but God made a difference. Now come with me now. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. And let's look quickly at verse number 6. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6. I want you to watch what the Bible says.
For when we were yet without
strength. We were yet without strength.
In due time. Christ died for the ungodly.
Come on, read, sir.
For scarcely a righteous man will one die.
Yet peradventure.
For a good man.
Some would even dare to die.
But God. Commendeth his
life. Ooh, I said, but God. Come on. Oh, it done got good to me here. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 16. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse number 16. Watch what the Bible said. Watch the book.
Know ye not.
Don't you know.
That to whom ye yield yourselves
servants
to obey.
Whom ye yield yourselves
servants to obey.
His servants ye are.
To whom you obey.
Whether of sin unto death.
Or of obedience unto righteousness.
But let's just stay here a moment. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 9. Watch what the Bible says.
But as it is written.
Eyes have not seen.
Nor ears heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man.
The things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
But God.
Thank God for God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 6. Watch what the Bible says.
I have planted.
Paul said, I planted.
Apollos watered. But God.
I stopped by to tell you, you need a but God in your life. Come on, Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 20. We'll start at verse 27. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 27. Watch what the Bible says. Bible said, go on and read, sir.
And their rulers, because they knew him not.
Because they knew him not.
Nor yet the voices of the prophets. Which are read every Sabbath day. They fulfilled them in condemning them.
Come on.
And though they found no cause of death.
All right, Acts 13, verse 28. And the Bible says, though they found no fault to condemn him.
In him yet desired they Pilate.
They desired Pilate.
That he should be slain.
That Jesus should be slain.
And when they had fulfilled all
and
that was written.
And when they had fulfilled all that was written.
They took him down
from
the tree.
They took Jesus down from the tree.
And laid him in
a sepulcher.
But God.
But the Bible says.
But God.
I stop by to tell you. You need a but God in your life. I was sinking deep in sin. I was far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking I would rise no more. But God, the master of the sea and sky, heard my despairing cry. From the waters he lifted me, now safe am I. I stopped by tonight to tell you, somebody needs Jesus Christ tonight. Somebody, you may be here tonight, if you're dead in your sins, you need life tonight. and that life can only be found in Jesus Christ. Come on, say yes to Jesus tonight. Come on and say yes to him. Everything you need is in Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. He is our Alpha. Oh, I'm close. I was close. I'm sorry. He's our Alpha and our Omega. B, he's our bread of life. C, he's our conquering Christ. He's D, he's the door to the sheepfold. E, he's everlasting life. F, he's a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. G, he's our guide and our guest. H, he's our heavenly highway. I, he's Emmanuel. J, he's my joy that come in the morning. Yes, K, he's King of Kings. L, he's Lord of Lords. M, he's Master and Mediator. N, there's nobody like him. O, he's omnipotent. O, he's omniscient. O, he's omnipresent. P, he's the Prince of Peace. Q, he's quick and powerful. R, he's my righteous Redeemer. S, he's my Savior. T, he is the truth. U, umbrella of my protection. V, he's my Visa. Not like the one in your pocket or your purse. But he won't charge no interest, but he'll drop the charges. W, he's my watchman that watches over me while I sleep. X, he's my x-ray. If people dig ditches, he'll lead me safely around. Y, he's my yesterday, today, and forever. Z, he's my zenith to which I aspire. Nobody can do you like Jesus. And I'm saying tonight, come to your hope tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Because it's only in Jesus we find the life that we need. I didn't have time to take you, but just jot that down. Galatians 5:14, where the Bible tells us the idea of Jesus, that he's our light. And that light, my friend, if we walk in that light as he's in the light, then we have fellowship one with the other. And that blood will cleanse you. That blood. You see, all these points that I try to make tonight in regards to life, that life, my friend, is found only in Jesus. But you can't get into Jesus without baptism. You can't pray your way in. You can't tarry your way in. The only way in, my friend, having received the right teaching, you are baptized into Jesus Christ. Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. You want to be saved. You want to be a Christian. You want to be a child of God. You say, Brother Pounds, I want to come out of this state, because that's what it is. It's a state. It's a state of sin. And you're in a state of death. And you got to leave that state. You see, when I made up my mind on Saturday, I was coming to Virginia. I could not be in Florida and Virginia at the same time. I recognized in order for me to come to Virginia, I had to leave the state of Florida in order to come here. It's the same concept. You got to leave the state of sin if you want to be saved tonight. And how can I do it, Brother Pound? By first of all, hearing how Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. Think about it. Make it personal. He died for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? With all your heart, you got to believe that Jesus died. He was buried, rose again the third day. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That Paul said that's the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4. Having heard and believed it, you got to believe the gospel, because Acts 15, verse 7, the Bible said when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, you know how a good while ago God made choice that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. You got to both hear and believe the gospel. Then you got to repent of your sin. Acts 17, verse 30. Time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now command all men everywhere to repent. That means you got to turn. Turn from sin, self, and Satan, and turn to the Lord tonight. And then you come confessing. Believe enough to confess. What shall I confess? You confess, my friend, the same thing the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8, verse 37. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then just like my friend, when he made that great confession, they stopped the chariot. They both went down in the water. And in the water, my friend, you're going to reach the blood of Jesus. In the water, my friend, you're going to reach life. God is going to give you life. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. You come out of that water, you're going to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Paul said this was their past state. He said, but now in Christ Jesus, but God. Thank God for but God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy and his great love, wherewith he loved us. Even we were dead in our sins, he has quickened us. And he did all of this with Jesus Christ. You cannot get life, my friend, without Jesus. If you're here, my friend, take advantage of this tonight. Don't turn away from your hope. That hope is only in Jesus. Come to your hope tonight. If you're a member of the body of Christ and you're going astray, then you come on back home through a process of repentance, confession, and prayer. Or, my friend, you just need prayer, because God knows all of us. I need prayer. We're candidates for prayer. We can fall on our knees, say, Lord, it's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. So whatever your situation is tonight, whatever you find yourself in tonight, if you need Jesus, I want you to come on. Have the courage to come. Right now, we got to stand. We'll sing a psalm of encouragement. Come on to Jesus.
There's
come on.
There's a fountain for it's for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to the brink. Tis the fountain of love from the source of
God bless you. God bless you. Have the courage. We'll wait for you. We'll wait for you. We'll wait for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Will you come?
Will you come? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Young man, young lady, mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, we'll wait for you.
It's for you. And the thirsty souls hear the welcome call. Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam from the throne of life. Now it flows while the waters
God bless you. God bless you. If you need the Lord now, he said, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light.
To the fountain is free. Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty souls. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living well, and its waters swell, and eternal life they can give. And we joyful sing.